Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Masters. That's right. We've got a new Masters champion this evening, and joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, what's up?
Oh, man. This was a roller coaster ride, right? You're thinking this is over. First, it's complete. The tournament's over. Then all of a sudden, it's even more. And then all of a sudden, Xander Schauffele's. This was a tournament that could have been extremely unexciting, for lack of a better word, and it turned into something that was very exciting. So yeah, the Masters delivered again.
It delivered again is absolutely right. Also here, it's the coach. Hey, coach, good to have you on a recap pod for, of course, the biggest event that we have.
This is the greatest, and it was like a teeter-totter, like Greg said, but also from a gambling perspective, we're going to get into it. We had two winners from the early edge this morning, head-to-heads, and just like we love, when the Masters app comes up and you know how like you'll hit your favorites and then they give you the update. I felt like at one point today, every update that was coming my way, double bogey for my guys. And then at the end, we had Xander who came back despite the triple. We still won the head to head. And that's what's important. So it was a good day all around for all of us.
We've got a lot of Xander conversation. I've got a lot of thoughts about that scorecard that he put out there on Sunday. And the Masters, it may be over. March Madness may be over, but the sports calendar never sleeps. The NHL trade deadline, daily NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball action. We've got the RBC Heritage coming up, good field next week, and NFL draft news and rumors. And of course, UEFA quarterfinals, and your home to stay in the know for all of it. Well, that's CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is the only sports news streaming service that is completely free. And how can you watch CBS Sports HQ? Well, it's very easy. It's available again for free on your computer, your mobile device, or your connected TV via the CBS Sports apps. Or if you're more of a YouTube person like myself, subscribe to CBS Sports HQ on YouTube for all the latest sports news videos on demand. Hideki Matsuyama is the newest Masters champion. It is his sixth career PGA Tour victory. Greg, he is the first Japanese men's golfer to win a major championship. Let's start with how the day started. A four-shot lead. I don't know if you had a takeaway, Greg, for kind of what his strategy was, if he employed one, if he just kept his head down. He bogeys number one. He gets it back at number two, so he's even par through two. And then things, they get a little shaky, but he's able to hold it together.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind with Hideki when I watch him play now is how good that short game is. And Rick, earlier in the year, we discussed him and how great he has been around the greens, which is kind of a change of pace. He's been hanging in tournaments with a short game, and he had some streaks of better ball striking this week, and the putting seems to have improved as well, which helped him get this win. But as for strategy, the advantage of having a four-shot lead and being in the final pairing is you have everything in front of you. You know exactly what you have to do. You can see when guys make a charge and where they make a charge. So you know when you have to be aggressive and when to kind of throttle it back a little bit. And it was evident on the first nine today that holes, you could even include three in this, but specifically four, five, six, and seven played extremely difficult. And the wind was really high at that point when the leaders were going through there. The wind was up for most of the players in the earlier wave. So what that does is it limits the charge. It puts the halt on the charge, and it gives Hideki a calm. He can go about his business. He can play the hole the way it's supposed to be played. He doesn't have to take on any unnecessary risk, and it puts you in control. Right. It's like this is the analogy that we talked about in match play with playing horse. Right. You control the game at all points because you get to see what they do first at every step of the way. And there wasn't much that he had to do. He could hit it into the back bunker at 12, and four is a perfectly fine score. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to take on any risk. And that's what he did. And then when you hole a couple of putts and you make birdie at 8 and 9, it kind of seals the deal and makes the second 9 that much easier. But also, like, the putt at number 5 was huge for momentum. Huge. It just keeps you out of that shaky zone where you start to say, oh, it's getting away. It kept him squarely in control. So yeah, there were a couple of big moments for him on the first 9.
Yeah. The first 9, coach, Greg references holes 3 through 7. He makes par on all of those holes and gains strokes on the field. All of those holes were playing over par, and Greg references, he flies the green on 3, but he's able to get up and down from there. 5, he hits into the fairway bunker, and 5 is a brute. 5 is horrible. You're in that fairway. You're in the fairway. It's hard to make par. You're in the fairway bunker. It's almost impossible. He rolls it in at a warp speed, probably dents the cup as it goes down, gets par there. And then he finally gets to the reprieve that is 8. Takes advantage of 8. He birdies 9. And now he is 2 under through his first 9 holes, heading into the second 9. And I'm thinking, okay, start engraving the trophy here. This is the moment I thought it's over. Hideki's got this.
And as we played through the 9, and I felt the same way that you did, that making those big putts were going to allow him to coast a little bit. But what did we see, guys, on the second 9? We saw what makes the Masters so great, that you still have to go out there. And it's not just about, Greg said it, well, he could hit into the back bunker on 12. Well, you can't say at Augusta National, well, just hit it in the middle of the green and make a 2-putt and you're good, because we saw him on 15. He carries the green, goes back into the water. You still have to hit the shots. And if you don't hit the shots, all of a sudden water comes into play. All of a sudden there's a double bogey or a triple bogey. And I thought Hideki did a great job, even when he made the mistakes coming in, that he still was able to hit enough good shots, putting the pressure on Xander, putting the pressure on Spieth to have to make a birdie on every single hole, and just wasn't able to do it. But at the end of the day, Hideki knew that the other guys had to come and get him, and they all made the mistakes. Jordan made them early, Xander made it late, and Hideki stayed relatively calm throughout, still shot over par, but he didn't have to shoot under par, which is why those of us who are really smart in the gambling betting community, we played Xander against Hideki because all he had to do is play defense. Everything we said today on the early edge is what happened today with Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, that second and 9. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah,
hit it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to add to that point, like, if you watch Xander start to make that charge, he makes birdie he birdied 12, 13, 14, 15. So he makes 4 in a row. So he's on a 3 birdie stretch when Hideki's on 15 and he's sitting in the fairway at the very same spot that Seve Ballesteros was sitting back in 1986, where he hit it into the water short of the green. And all of a sudden, because of what Xander was doing, because of the charge that Xander was making, Hideki felt like a birdie would go a really long way here. And so he got a little bit more aggressive, and maybe he just hit a bad shot. It came out a little low and a little left of what he expected. But it seemed to me like the play there, if you have a 3-shot lead, is to hit it way out to the right and then 2-putt for a birdie. If it gets in the bunker, if it trickles over, you make 5 at worst. And so because Xander's charging, he gets a little more aggressive. But then on the very next hole, on 16, when things have really tightened up, Xander goes first and hits it into the water, and it makes
it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. Bogey. But all of a sudden, bogey's fine.
Yep.
Even though Zalatoris is doing what Zalatoris is running out of holes, so it's going to be really hard for him to catch him. And all of a sudden, he takes the water completely out of play and leaves himself a tough 2-putt. But still, making 5, you're not making 6, you're making 4 at worst.
That pressure was applied to Hideki Matsuyama for about 6 minutes. That was about the amount of time it lasted before Xander hits it into the drink on 16. We're going to talk about him in a second. But to wrap up, Hideki Matsuyama's second 9. So he makes bogey on 12. He gets it right back at 13. He makes bogey on 15, flying the green on his second shot into the water. And then he makes bogey on 16. But coach, those 2 holes, I didn't think it was all that bad. Like, he nuked his second shot on 15 into the water. That's whatever. Maybe it's adrenaline. Maybe he missed his number, whatever it is. 16, he just hits it on the safe side of the green after watching what Xander does. And then he's not a very good putter. He three putts. That's fine. I'm willing to write that off. The one really bad swing that he took on the second nine, in my opinion, was sitting in the middle of the fairway on 18, pitching wedge in hand from 125 yards out. That's automatic for Decky Bot. This guy just hits it to 12 feet every single time, sprays it into the bunker. And now I'm thinking, okay, this could get hairy.
I thought at first that maybe it would have plugged because it was a wedge and they weren't showing the way the lighting, you couldn't really see the ball very well. So I thought maybe it was plugged. And if that's the case, then maybe that Friday he has to score it, it goes over. Now we might have an issue. But I also, and I'm one of the announcers, and I'm sure I've been guilty of this before, but I tried to now, at this point in my career, I don't try to romanticize things unless they deserve to be romanticized, right? And when you think of the fact that Hideki Matsuyama, I've told people on many occasions, if I did not live in the United States, the country I would want to live in is Japan. For a lot of reasons, but because of the people, and the people love each other, and they love their heroes, and they love their sporting icons, and the way they treat their athletes over there. I wish we treated our athletes here like that, but I just like the way they live. I like the Japanese culture. I love it all. To know what I've experienced over there, and to know that he's one of their beloved sons, and he was still able to keep that pressure, and that pressure is real, guys. It's real. You're talking about probably $10 to $30 million he's going to make off of this win alone in endorsements and all these different things. That is real pressure. And he was able to handle that today. And I thought he did it in great fashion. And congratulations to him. And I can only imagine what it's going to be like, guys, when we get to the Olympics in August. Right. And it would not surprise me if we see him walking out, holding that damn flag as a Masters champion. And I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. It could be an awesome, awesome thing.
I think he's going to light the torch, Greg. I mean, this is it. Coach is absolutely right. I mean, this is Monday morning. I'm sure all televisions were tuned into what was going on at the Masters. You know, they piped us into the feed a couple times with the Japanese commentary. Yeah. And this is, you know, we probably can't even do a good enough job of quantifying it or painting the picture of how big this is for Japan, for the game of golf in Japan, for, I mean, everything, this victory for Hideki.
Japan is, they love golf over there. There are a ton of golf courses and a ton of golfers, and it's a beloved event. I mean, I don't know if this has any impact on what is taking place in Japan. I would imagine Hideki Matsuyama's Wikipedia page is run by someone who's Japanese. That would just be a guess. And at 5:10 this evening, my producer from SiriusXM sent me a text message, and it said, Hideki Matsuyama's Wikipedia page already has him as the winner. And it said he won. He was on 14. He was on 14 at the time. And so you think about what, I don't know who's running that page. I can't speak to that exactly, but it just, they are expecting a victory at that point. And it just simply adds to pressure. And you can imagine that if somebody is going onto that page and changing that and expecting that victory, there's a whole nation of people that are expecting the victory by the time you get, I mean, today when he starts on hole number one, and then when he gets through the first nine, it's locked up. It's sealed. The deal is sealed. And then you get a guy like Xander Schauffele chasing you down, making a bunch of birdies in a row, and Will Zalatoris hanging in there, and the pressure just continues to mount and mount and mount. So yeah, it's hard for me to quantify. I know less than you do, Coach, about how that culture is and how much they love it. But I can tell you, Hideki Matsuyama, no matter what he does, like here in America, there are a couple of players that whether they shoot 72, 82, or 62, they're being covered. Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, maybe. Yeah, I mean, those are
that
really
might be
the list.
Guys.
Yeah, that might, yeah, be, that might be the list. Realistically, yeah. It's the list. I was going to say Rory, but Rory's gotten to a point where I don't even think he's in that category unless it's at the Masters. Hideki Matsuyama faces that pressure week in and week out for a whole nation. Whether he shoots 85 or 65 or wins a master, he's getting all the same coverage, and it's relentless coverage, and they love him. And so this will be, I'm really proud of him. I'm happy for him.
I told this story a couple times this week. I mean, I was at Shriners a couple of years ago, Thursday morning, 7:15 a.m. There is no one out there. There are six total fans on the course, and there's like five Japanese press guys following every shot that Hideki's hitting. I mean, this is every, it doesn't matter what event, doesn't matter what course, doesn't matter whatever. He is being covered like in the major championship. So you can imagine what happens when he actually does win a major championship. A couple of my favorite stats from this victory for Hideki, coach. One, this now moves players who held a four shot lead after 54. It moves them to 12 and 16 all time in converting them to victory. And then this one's my favorite. Hideki Matsuyama becomes the seventh player ever to earn both low AM honors and win a green jacket. That is full circle stuff. I love that.
Did it shock you guys when you heard them say the first time this weekend, Hideki Matsuyama playing in his 10th Masters this week? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? And they said, and he's only 29 years old. 29. I'm like, what? And I it was a combination of, I didn't think he was that young, but I also didn't think he had played in that many Masters either. And it just really shocked me.
And I actually thought, you know, Mark and I did last night, Saturday night, and I thought he put it perfectly, because I said the same thing. I told Mark, I'm like, listen, I hope Hideki goes bogey par just so that like we get something close out of the gate here. And Mark said, you know, listen, if this is a 4 or 5 hour coronation of a well-deserved champion, that's okay. That can be the storyline. You know, it's well-deserved. And I was like, that's a really good way to look at it.
And we talked about this a little earlier in the week, the anniversaries that live on this day and on this week, this Masters in 2021. Do you think 5 years ago of Jordan Spieth, 10 years ago in 2011, with Rory McIlroy, and then you go back to 1986 and you had it, that tournament is remembered for what Jack Nicklaus did, but you also have to think about it and remember what Seve Ballesteros did and what Greg Norman did coming down the stretch. That they weren't necessarily holding a 5-shot lead, but there was disaster for both of them that cost them the tournament. And so there have been, in this kind of 10 or 15 years ago, or a number along those lines, you've seen some really dramatic happenings take place. And when Hideki got through number 12, I kind of thought he was safe. And then, then when he hit the shot on 15, I said, have I been fooled? Because I'm waiting for, okay, he's got to get past. Okay, he did that. He's checking off all the boxes. He got past here. He's still in clear control. He's still going to do. And then all of a sudden on 15, and Xander almost holds it for eagle. It's like, oh, is this really going to happen again?
Yeah.
So I do think it's an important part of the story.
It is. And that is why we're going to talk plenty about Will Zalatoris. He finished runner up. He finished one shot back here, but with Xander and Hideki playing together and the story kind of being that for the vast majority of the event, let's jump down to Xander Schauffele and talk about this. Because coach, if I would have told you that Xander Schauffele made 7 birdies on Sunday at the Masters, including every hole from 12 to 15, I'm assuming you'd think the result would be different than him finishing 3 shots off the lead.
100%. I would have thought that he would have won it, because nobody ever moves forward in the Masters unless they're forced to. Well, if you're going to tell me that Xander has 7 birdies, that means he wasn't forced to until after the 12th hole. And then it's a little hard to flip that switch and say, okay, now I've got to start making some birdies because this guy is coming up on me. And I had like 3 buddies who follow us on our bets on the early edge, and they were hot. You know how it is. They love it when you're picking winners, but all of a sudden they're like, Xander's terrible. They're like, this is like on hole 6, hole 7. I was like, listen, he's a grinder. He's the classic comeback, make the birdie putt. You don't realize it. They don't show him. Then all of a sudden he's done 2, 3, or 4 in a row. And that's exactly what he did on the back 9. They tell the story. Or it was Marty Smith this morning on SportsCenter talking about how Xander back in 2014, he admitted what happened back then when he was standing on the 13th tee and he had to lead the Masters. He's like, oh, snap, I got to lead the Masters, and then hit a bad drive and the rest was bad. How is this going to affect him, guys? Think about this. And Jim Nantz sticking the knife in as he goes, we never see balls in the water at 16 anymore.
I know.
Right? Maybe in the old days, but not now. You're like, thanks, Jim. But how is that going to play on Xander's psyche when he knows he was right there? And again, and it was the first triple he'd had ever in a major championship, ever in his career. And it happened on the 16th hole at the Masters, when he would have been with a par. He would have been one back with a par.
There's two different disasters for Xander Schauffele, Greg. Holes 3 through 5 that he played 4 over, including a double on 5, and the triple that he took on 16. And you can look at the triple that he took on 16 because he said he had the right number. He said he hit it perfect. He said he flushed it, and maybe they misread the wind or whatever. That you maybe you give him a pass on that one. For me, things started to spin for him on 3. He hit a perfect drive, is right down where everybody else was. He hits that pitch up to the elevated green, leaves it at his feet. Things start to spin. Didn't hit a great shot into 4. 5 gets out of hand very quickly, and it kind of took him a second to get this back. I'm more concerned about the on a major championship from 3, 4, and 5 than I am about the shot that he hit on 16.
I understand what you're saying, and he gave away the tournament. He gave away a realistic chance of the tournament during that stretch.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. And it
twice.
Became like the run from 7 to 15 where he makes all those birdies. The only other hole he birdied. So he made 6 birdies in that stretch. He also birdied number 2. But during that stretch, you almost feel like you're out of it. You're basically done. You're just trying to, you're playing for position. You're of course trying to play as best you can, but you're thinking after number 5, your tournament is over. Your chances of winning are over. So that stretch is kind of an easy stretch. And then all of a sudden you get an opportunity on 16 where you're back in the mix. Now, because Hideki hit it in the water at 15 long of the green, now you're back. You've been let back in. You're in the mix after you make birdie at hole number 2. You're right there. And so both times you get yourself right there in position, all of a sudden you go on a little bit of a bad run. You hit a bad shot. And it is concerning. I do think, Rick, however, 3, 4, and 5 played very difficult. And I think he'll look at those holes and say, okay, I hit a bad tee shot at 5 and kind of got a bad break. It got away from me more than it normally would over there. And you can almost write that off because you put yourself back in the mix. You came back from it. But 16 is so final. All of us, there's no opportunity to come back. It's like hitting it in the water on 17 at Sawgrass. It's over.
It's over.
It's done. It's over. There's no chance to come back. And so at that point, that's the one that's going to stick in his mind. Now, he did everything that he could. I understand that. But I think Xander in this one probably handles this okay. And the reason is he was trailing. He wasn't expected to win heading into the final day. And he got himself a chance he put himself up to the test, and he gave himself that chance, which is well deserved. But the next question for Xander, and Kyle and I have talked about this many times, is what happens with the lead? So this doesn't fall in the category to me of I can't do it. Whereas if he were in Hideki's shoes and lost this tournament, if the roles were flipped and Xander was Hideki with a 4-shot lead and hits it in the water at 16, he could start to say, I can't do it. I can't play with a lead. What's wrong with me playing with a lead? Whereas he has plenty of evidence of coming from behind and trailing and chasing. So I think he's going to leave this tournament feeling not too much has changed. There's still some things he's got to work on in his game, but I don't think he's going to leave here too brokenhearted.
He will leave there a little broker, though, because it cost him about $800,000. But I digress.
Well, Coach, how about this? Because it is interesting, right? You've got a guy who is going to wake up tomorrow morning, the 5th-ranked player in the world. And I think there's a lot of questions about that 5th-ranked player in the world because he's never birded on any of his 54-hole leads. All 4 of his PGA Tour victories have come from behind. He's been trailing in going into the final round. And he's also a guy that we kind of lump. So there's Tony Finau's bucket, which is like he top 5s, top 10s, everything, but never wins. And then there's just kind of like adjacent bucket, which is like, okay, Xander Schauffele has won a couple of times, but he still doesn't win as much as he should. And he's the 5th-ranked player in the world. How do we reconcile all this?
Well, first of all, I think the world rankings the way they do is an absolute joke. You know, the fact that Will Zalatoris is in the world top 50 is kind of a joke. But
you know what's going to be tomorrow, Coach? You know what he's going to be tomorrow? Well, this will drive you crazy.
Yes, it will. Tell me.
27.
Stop it. Stop
27th ranked player in the world.
Stop it. But these new guys that come out, they just get points and they don't lose any points. Stop. All you can do is accumulate points and that's a system? Come on. But regardless, Xander now, and there's becoming more and more examples in Hawaii when he couldn't two-putt to win there. And now we're talking – this year, what have we been saying on the show all the time? Oh, he's a top 25 machine. Well, he's been a backdoor top 25 machine. By the way, Tony Finau did go top 10 today. But now with Xander and getting in these big spots and everybody saying he's the best player on tour, everybody talks about it, he's this – well, he's not to me. Because he puts himself in these positions and then he fails one time after another. And I understand he's getting big paychecks, but so is Tony Finau. Some of these other guys that stack cash, Xander's got to sit down with himself after this performance and say, what do I need to do in order to take my game to another level that I'm constantly up there, but I'm also playing from the lead? Because you guys bring up great points. He never plays from the lead. It's always come from behind, and that's an issue. And he's got to figure that out.
Will Zalatoris finishes runner up, Greg. This kid answers every single question. As I mentioned, he is going to wake up tomorrow as the 27th ranked player in the world. He's still not going to be a fully exempt PGA Tour member. So while we're rewriting the official world golf rankings, while we're doing all the system, maybe we need to look at, I don't know, FedEx Cup points, how the tour handles, how they distribute these cards, because this is bonkers at this point that this guy is not a full member.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, the issue that he had was COVID did this to him. So I don't think we have to rewrite any rules here, because
we're rewriting them all.
He would have earned his card through the Korn Ferry Tour last year, right? He earned that position. And correct. So I think there's a great fortune. And also with the official world golf rankings, while it may not be perfect, I think it's a pretty good system. As I've looked at this and thought, how do we make this better? I think they do a pretty good job of covering all their bases here. Now, Will Zalatoris gets, he gets opportunities because he's able to continue to excel and earn these world golf ranking points. It gets him into events. It gets young stars and young faces into events like World Golf Championships. And I think there's a place where that's a good thing. Although I understand your concerns, Coach. It's not a perfect system. I totally understand that. But Will Zalatoris, Rick, do you want have something to add there?
No. I was just going to tee up for something else. Keep going. Okay.
I'll tee myself up. This week, Will Zalatoris, for a while, this tournament was reminding me of the 2014 Masters, where Bubba Watson is kind of in a runaway and Jordan Spieth's the only guy who would be there if something collapsed and fell. And after Xander went through that spell at 3, 4, and 5, it kind of felt like that. You have the young Masters rookie challenging an experienced Masters player who's doing everything the right way. And I kind of had this feeling of Bubba and Jordan with Matsuyama and Zalatoris. So that was very interesting to me. But it's important for me to bring up, at the beginning of the week, I was very high on experienced players. And I said, this week would be, it's going to be important because of the more difficult conditions. It's going to be important for you to have experience and understand how to play the golf course and do all these things well. Well, Will Zalatoris, in a way, proved me wrong because this is his first Masters. But at the same time, he works very hard with the guys from Decade Golf, Scott Fawcett and Lou Stagner, on how to attack golf courses, how to play golf courses, and what the statistical percentages are. And he said in a message to them, hey, you guys have given me 25 years in less than 1 year. And I think that's really valuable and really important. So he is understanding how to play golf courses. The strategy that he deployed this week was advanced beyond his years. And that's what Jordan Spieth did in 2014 and 15 as well. So I see a similarity between those two players. They're different in their style, but their tact and strategy around here, I think, is quite similar.
Not only has Will Zalatoris been piling up top tens, coach, but the last two major championships that he's played. So the two that he's played since 2020, T6 at Winged Foot, runner up at Augusta National. My goodness, he answers the bell.
And if I'm other players, I'm not even looking at his game, because his game is top notch. He's going to be here for a long time. If I'm another player on the PGA Tour, I'm looking at his interviews on Saturday and his interview after his round on Sunday, and I'm saying that should be how I should look at everything. And what I'm talking about is when Amanda Baliones asked him today about, you know, being in this position, you know, exalted in his very first Masters, he's like, I've been dreaming about this since I was a kid. This is all I've ever wanted to do. So now that I'm in this position, why should I just go out there and try to take it? Why should I just go out there and try to win it? And I'm like, how come more athletes can't think like this? He knows that he's going to make all the money he could ever make. And I think a lot of times athletes get caught up in the, here's what I'm going to win if I win. And that just completely tears them down. He's like, I want to go out there and see how much I can win and see how high I can climb. And that's a completely flipped upside down mindset that most athletes, when they get to that level, don't have. I think by what I saw yesterday and today, that I can confidently say that Will Zalatoris for the next 15 or 20 years is going to consistently compete at a high level, but he's going to win at a high level because winning doesn't bother him. And most athletes, winning bothers them, and it doesn't for him.
Yeah, he basically took the mindset of like, well, somebody's going to win this golf tournament. It might as well just be me. I might as well just go out there and win it, which is awesome stuff. With this runner-up finish, he has guaranteed himself a spot in the Masters next year, because everybody with a top 12 will do that. We're going to talk about Jordan Spieth. We're going to talk about Jon Rahm. We're going to give an update for our one and done and our betting cards. But first, we've got to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. Remember that the Champions League is down to 8 teams, and after this week, that number will be cut in half following the second leg of the quarterfinal stage. And if you haven't already, make K Galazzo the podcast of your complete UCL coverage before and after the biggest matches, including PSG versus Bayern Munich and Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Follow K Galazzo for premier picks and immediate recaps of all the action. Download anywhere you find this podcast. Greg, it wouldn't be a First Cut podcast if we didn't talk about Jordan Spieth, who's going to card a T7 at the 2021 Masters thanks to a Sunday 70. And this is so strange, Greg. It was a disappointing T3. Like, I don't know. I know that's not true. I know that is not actually true, but we were at a full on fever pitch, like Jordan Spieth, runaway freight train. He's going to win the Masters. This is obviously another amazing finish, but like, wow, he's in it again. This guy doesn't stop.
Yeah, he's living in contention right now, which is great to see. It's a nice change of pace. But again, I go back. This is what Jordan Spieth is. This is who this kid is. And this is a disappointment for him. The week as a whole is disappointing for a couple of reasons. I think the it comes down to big numbers. It's the double on 7 yesterday, and it's the triple on 9 on Thursday. And those two of all the things that happened today, the putts that narrowly missed. He was living on the edge. He hit the ball beautifully for the week. He hit 14 of 18 greens in two rounds. He hit 16 of 18 greens in another round. And on Sunday, hit 12 of 18 greens. He's hitting the ball beautifully, which is great to see. The putts slid by. And look, that's going to happen from time to time. It's not a big deal. It's just he has worked so hard to get rid of the big number. And the big number was killing him during this stretch from 2017 to this year. It was killing him. He was making doubles in every single round, it seemed, at least in every tournament. And he's gotten rid of that over the past month. I don't think he's made a single double from the Waste Management up until this week. And now you end up with a triple bogey and a double bogey, and it ends your chances. So that's, I think, the disappointment that Jordan Spieth walks away with this week. But at the same time, it's very clear now that he is really back, and this will hopefully just keep him hungry. And it's looking like we're going to have a season of Jordan Spieth being in contention, which is just so good for the First Cut podcast.
It's so good for the First Cut podcast. It's so good for the game of golf. And coach, I think we are done getting long numbers on Jordan Spieth. That is out the window. Anytime he tees it up, I'm imagining he's going to be one of the top 3 or 4 favorites in the field. And when he goes and plays some of these smaller events, he's going to be in single digits. I mean, Jordan Spieth is back. It's good to see, but we're going to pay for it.
I would dare say we're not going to see a plus 2000 anytime, probably for the next year or longer. And the announcers have already killed us for the PGA Championship, because anytime announcers say something on TV, Vegas always listens. Spieth is going to love playing Kewa Island. Well, I'm okay with the short number, because I'm okay with not betting on Jordan Spieth, because I love it when he's in contention. I saw some clown on Twitter today say, "I hate it when Jordan Spieth talks to his golf ball. I have to turn it on mute." I'm like, are you kidding me? That's one of the greatest things in golf. You had a major championship. He's in contention, and he literally walks you through every single shot. His second shot on 15, how fascinating was that, guys, to hear him talk with Michael and what they were going to do, how far he was going to go, how is he going to get around the tree, where he's going to set himself up to get to – That is just magical stuff that you just don't get literally from any other player. I'm done with the he's back talk. We're not going to talk about that much. He's now a top 5 player. I don't care what his ranking says. He's a top 5 player in the world right now, and he's playing like it every single week. And I can't wait to see where he's going to play next and how he's going to keep this top 5 streak going.
I blame Michael Greller for him not winning today. Why would you shave this beard either Saturday night or Sunday evening, Greg, of Masters Week? Are you trying to change the juju? He's been awesome since the start of 2021. The guy shows up on the first tee. I didn't even recognize him.
Maybe there's something there. I don't know. That to me goes beyond any analysis that I can provide.
Did he lose a bet? Like, what happened?
Yeah. You just don't do
I don't
it.
Know.
You just don't do it. You don't.
Is
do
that
it.
The kind of thing that you have to like pass with your? You got to clear with your boss.
Yes.
Okay. Can I grow a beard? Is something for most people. You know, you got to pass dress code, right? Can I? Hey, Jordan. I'm thinking about wearing jeans tomorrow. Is that okay? No, you can't wear jeans tomorrow, Michael. I'm thinking about shaving my lucky beard tomorrow. Is that okay with you? No, Michael, that's not okay. You got to wait until at least Monday. So I don't know. It's a very interesting thing. But coach, I completely agree with you. Jordan Spieth is the most entertaining player in the game. There's no question to me about that. There is nobody that draws the eyeballs more than Jordan Spieth. And it's because he's so audible. He gives it to you. He tells you there's ups and downs and highs and lows and funny and serious. And you want to laugh and you want to cry. He elicits emotion, if that's the right word and he brings out emotion in us, and we love it, and we can relate to it. And it's the best thing in the game. So I agree. I'm far from muting it. I'm turning it up when Jordan Spieth is about to hit a ball.
Damn right.
The round of the day goes to John Rahm. Two shots better than anybody else, a 6-under 66. And this was actually pretty interesting, Coach, because John Rahm opens the Masters with three consecutive rounds of 72. But that's not all. Each of the nines that he played, each of the six nines that he played were exactly 36 apiece. I was actually kind of rooting for him to go out and shoot 36 on the front, 36 on the back, and just probably be the first guy to ever do that ever. I don't know. I imagine. I'd have to dig through the numbers, but instead he goes out and shoots a 6-under 66. It is going to be a backdoor top five. He kind of mentioned in his post-round interview to Amanda Baliones that this didn't feel like he was going to win it. He actually pointed out an exact moment. I think he said in 2018, when I was standing in 15 fairway, that's the closest I've ever been, something like that, which I thought was kind of cool that John Rahm could pinpoint the moment that he felt the closest to winning the Masters.
I love when these guys point out how they feel, because I, you know, my main sport was basketball. I played at a pretty high level in college. And when you master a sport to where, like, we don't know when we're hitting a ball, we don't know exactly how far it's going to go. We don't know where, you know, but these guys do. And they're in the moment, and they're the masters of their craft. And when I hear him say things like that, you're like, man, how did he continue on and still keep that laser focus to do that? Well, today, I don't think today was about laser focus. I think it was just about shooting the lowest number that he could. And when he's free, like a lot of these guys, like a Rory, like a DJ, like a Spieth, when they're free, they can go out and shoot a 65 or a 66. So I thought that was pretty incredible. To your nugget about the numbers, I was shocked, to hear that Jordan Spieth was the first player in the history of the Masters to birdie hole 10 all 4 days.
Yeah.
All four. I thought surely maybe Tiger had done it once, or Jack, or just some random player just stumbled into four birdies. But that shows how hard that hole is, that that doesn't happen. So the numbers, I love number kind of stuff. And I know you're a number guy, and Greg too. But I thought Rahm really set himself up nicely today. I think he would have taken with the baby coming. You told him, hey, you're going to have a T3, to top five, that he would have taken that. I think he would have, to be honest with you. He's not happy he lost, but I think he can take this confidence and take it into the rest of the majors this year. And he's going to be now at the top of the list, guys, at least in my opinion, of guys that don't have majors yet that need to start winning them and winning them now. They can't wait anymore. It's got to start happening in 2021.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I think I agree with you, Coach. And I think I gave Rory a pass for a long time. I mean, Rory's what, 7 years without a major championship. And I just kept being like, oh, it's coming. It's Rory. There's plenty of these. It's 4 a year. It'll be fine. There's also a lot of other great players out there. There's also new players coming all the time. So I think now more than ever, I agree. Like, hey, you got to start winning them now, because you might not get a chance to do it later.
Yeah, there was a moment, Rick, to that point where Will Zalatoris got up and down on number five, and he was short of the green. He was in front there, and the whole location's up on that knob where if you miss a little to the right, it goes to the right, a little to the left, it goes to the left, and he rolled it right up the center. And they were talking about how that's kind of it's one of those moments where it's the beginner's luck. Almost, you don't know, you don't have the experience in missing and how disastrous it can be. So you kind of... Yes. And there's a little advantage to that. When you get it out of the way early, it frees you up to continue to go and do it all along. Whereas for a guy like, think about Rory McIlroy and all of his chances at the Masters. You know he's going to have one every single year, an opportunity, but they just keep on sliding by. Arnold Palmer never won a PGA championship, right? The longer you wait, the more difficult it gets, the greater the pressure gets, and everyone starts to feel like a little more and a little more and a little more of any player with a career Grand Slam. And this is more towards Rory than it is towards John Rahm. Although John Rahm should, I think he'll be in this category at one point. Nobody's ever won the career Grand Slam going more than 3 years in between their third. Winning their not their third major,
interesting,
third leg of the Grand Slam,
third leg,
third and fourth, never been third more than 3 years. So for a guy like Jordan Spieth, that's past. For Rory McIlroy, that's past. For Phil Mickelson, it's long past. So you know, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting point. You can't take these opportunities for granted, because there are Hall of Fames, all time greats, that have never won at least one of them, and you know, just the pressure continues to mount.
to put a bow on Jordan Spieth birdieing hole number 10 each round this week. That hole played over par every single day. So he essentially gained almost five shots on the field on hole 10 alone. That is obviously super special stuff. And the fact that nobody's done it even further proves that point. Okay, odds and ends, gentlemen. Let's do a little betting update here and our one and done update. So Mark led the way with our little betting project here where he gained 52%. So that's 52% ROI, but he was you, coach, who finished right behind him at 48% ROI, thanks to a couple of bets here. Let me see what your winners were. You had Patrick Reed over Webb Simpson in a matchup. You had Jordan Spieth over Justin Thomas. That cashed. I believe you had Jordan Spieth top former champion. That would have cashed, correct?
Yep.
Yes, it did. And then did you win this camp? Oh, you did not win that one. But no, it was a great week of matchups. And this former champion for Jordan Spieth was plus 225, which is always nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And it was I really felt in control of my picks this week. I felt like a player that things were just jumping off the board. And I don't know about you guys, but I felt like I was giving my wrong picks out, even though I still hit several. Because I was doing great in my personal picks. And for some reason, this course is just easy for me to handicap. I'm horrible in fantasy, but when it comes to actual betting and I really feel comfortable, handicapping the Masters.
I love it. Let's stay right here with you for your one and done pick, coach, because you got $79,000 from Paul Casey. You moved to 2.2 million. This is what I hate, and I'm sure you're just as frustrated as I am. Casey shoots one of the lowest rounds of the day on Sunday. Finally gets it going, and you look back and you say, "Where was this for the last 3 days?"
That's why I was picking him. I really didn't think. Remember, I told you I thought Jordan Spieth was going to win, but what I thought was going to happen was, we would get to Sunday, he would be eight back, and he would do what he did today and finish in the top five. That's what I expected him to do. But Saturday and Friday, he didn't do that.
It was tough. Yeah. I had a big outright ticket on Paul Casey too. It was not pretty. My week was not pretty. We'll get to that in a second. Producer Jacob is going to stay right where he is. 2.7 million. He had Patrick Cantlay.
See ya.
This was, I mean, Greg, so let me just do this. I had Dustin Johnson as my one and done pick. I was heavily invested and picked Patrick Cantlay to win. Dude comes out and lays an absolute egg, never looks all that interested in playing golf. I'm hoping to chalk this up as golf happens, but in an event that is kind of unwiffable, right? A lot of these guys make the cuts. They're in contention year over year. It is very sticky. This hurts. This hurts me.
Yeah, you don't want to. You want to go into the weekend with a chance, and pretty much if you make the cut, you have a chance of getting some excitement, whether it's like what Paul Casey did with a great Sunday round. You always feel like in a one and done format where you don't need the win. Of course, betting outrights is a completely different story, but you go in with somebody having a top 10 or a top 20 or in a one and done, and you always feel like you have a chance heading into Saturday and Sunday where guys can really vault up the leaderboard. You can see some great rounds and guys can leapfrog a lot of players. So it always makes it interesting. And when you miss a cut and your guy's Patrick Cantlay or your guy's Dustin Johnson, like those are as safe of plays as it gets. So as I agree with you, Rick, that stings.
Kyle is next. He's at 5.1 million thanks to the $666,000 that he got from Jordan Spieth. And coach, Kyle's on a run. I'm getting a little nervous here. In his last five events, he's gained 1.8 million. Starting to figure it out here is our very own KP.
Well, that drives me bananas for one. And this is the third week now that I've screwed myself because I tried to use Spieth. I'd already used him. You were sitting on that just waiting. So I do respect you for gouging me with that last week. That was beautifully done by you. But KP, I'm not worried about KP. I'm really not. Now, he'll lose focus again in end of April and May, and I'll just shoot up that leaderboard. But the fact that he's doing well right now is just – it's just irritating as hell. It really is.
He is nipping at the heels of you, Greg. You're at 5.3 million. You got $119,000 from Justin Thomas, which I got to tell you, I guess this would have been Saturday afternoon. This was looking good, man. When they got to the rain delay, JT was what? Two shots off the lead. He was feeling himself. He was doing that I love me some me thing. Like it was really good for JT. And then he never figured it out. He made a triple on 13 on Sunday. And then his Sunday round was won over. So he just never figured it out after that.
He was gonna win. He was going to win this tournament. He was going to. I mean, I was watching, and
I agree with this.
I had JT as my winner. I had Spieth as my top 10. I had Brian Harman as my sleeper. I'm sitting there before the rain delay, clicking my heels. I'm like, oh, this is just perfect. And JT is flagging it. He hits it. He nearly makes it at 10. Well, then he misses the putt. And then hits it on the green at 11 and three putts. And then he makes birdie at 12. And there, it's this up and down. And I'm saying, okay, 13 here. He's going to hit that shot, right? The shot he hit at 10, I think he hit it at 2 a couple of times too. The shot he hit at the Players, the rope hook around the trees. And this is perfect. He loves this shot. And he just aimed it way too far right, hits it into the trees. And then he's still in perfect position. He's in perfect position after a layup for a guy that I think is the best short iron, best wedge player in that full, not necessarily short game, but wedges in that kind of partial wedge shot area. I think he's the best in the game at it. And he hits it into the tributary to Race Creek. I couldn't believe it. And I was just, it seems like every Masters, JT gets himself in position. He gets really close and there's a moment where it turns. It happened. It's not just for JT. It happens for everyone. And unfortunately, it took him out of play for Sunday.
It certainly did. I like that. This is like our vent time for the week. I like this where we get to just vent about all of this. It makes me feel a little bit better. Mark also took Jordan Spieth, $666,000 for Mark. So he's closing the gap on me. He moves to 6.4 million. And coach, my run of great picks stops. It is just halted by Dustin Johnson, our defending champion, the number one player in the world. The guy that I thought was probably safer than most gives me exactly $0. Both Dustin Johnson and myself earned the same amount at Augusta National this week, which is not a good sign.
How sad is it that I want to beat you so badly that I actually had DJ in a couple of real money head-to-head matchups, and I didn't care about losing those because he missed the cut, and that meant you didn't get any points. That is sick. It's demented. I didn't care about losing real money or the fact of beating Rick G. I've got to change. I've got to change my mentality because that's just wrong. It's wrong on every level.
Coach, I was thinking the same thing when DJ was coming down on Friday. I was like, he's got to miss this cut. I need him to miss it. Because meanwhile, I'm thinking JT is going to earn me $2 million and I'm going to be right back in the mix. And Rick's prevent defense strategy that we talked about earlier in the week isn't working. And I was so excited. But it turns out he's still leading health by a healthy margin.
It is. And you know, if he makes the cut, he goes out and shoots like he does that 66-66 thing on the weekend and flies up the leaderboard and gets me T8 money. And that would have not been pretty. So good thing he did.
A big moment.
Yeah, he did indeed miss the cut. Gentlemen, we have just crowned our 2021 Masters champion, our first major of the calendar year. We actually have a pretty good field for Heritage next week. We'll be back to break all that down. But any final parting words for our Masters recap episode?
I'm good. I just love doing this with you guys so much. And the fact that we're doing it on a Sunday night of the Masters is just super cool for me. So thanks for having me on the show this year, guys. I really, really enjoyed it.
Of course. Well,
Coach, we love having you. And I second all those things that you said. And look, I also want to just congratulate Hideki Matsuyama. It was hard fought, well-deserved. And I'm really proud and happy for him.
Awesome stuff. We'll be back at it again on Monday with the DFS breakdown for the RBC Heritage. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank the coach, who you can find on Twitter at the Coach Rules. And let me thank Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at the Real GFD. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.